Heavenly Father, grant that we may indeed receive a double portion of the Spirit of God, for his name's sake. Amen. It's 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Kings 2 verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that's Jordan, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. What interests me tonight in this is what makes us seek the Spirit of God. It's all very well to talk about the Spirit of God. It's all very well to go to churches where it's emphasized. But what makes us seek the Spirit of God? Because the Word of God always sees right to the heart of things. Now, the first thing that made Elisha seek the Spirit of God, a double portion, was the life of his master Elijah. He had watched Elijah call down fire from heaven. He had watched Elijah and knew about it, do great miracles. He'd watched him raise the dead. He'd watched him tell Ahab that he would die, and Ahab had died in battle. Exactly it was said in response to what Ahab had done. He had watched him take the barrel of meal and the little cruse of oil so that they didn't fail right through the famine until God sent rain on the earth. He knew about these things even when he hadn't seen them. He knew all about the brook Cherith. He knew how Elijah had been hidden there by the Lord and how the ravens had fed him day and night. He knew how the brook had dried up and the Zarephath widow had taken him on, and he knew that he found her in the field gathering two sticks to make a little cake for herself and her son before they lay down and died. And he knew that Elijah had said, Thus saith the Lord, make me a little cake first, for thus saith the Lord, the cruse of oil shall not fail, the barrel of meal shall not fail, nor the cruse of oil cease till the Lord send rain upon the earth. He knew this man. He'd also seen his courage. Now, what he wanted was to be the same. Now, what he was facing was a new work where he desperately needed the Spirit of God. And therefore, the first thing that made this man seek was looking at his master, Elijah. Now, look, that's only the beginning of why this man was seeking. But it was a real beginning, so as he'd be like his master. Now, the next thing is this. He wanted double measure. Now, why did he want a double measure? Well, it comes like this. You remember he was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen in his father's field. He was the son of Shaphan, of Abel-Meholah, and he with the 12th. And Elijah came behind him and threw his cloak over him. Now, when he threw his cloak over him, Elisha knew that he was called to follow. And it said he went and ministered unto him. It was said of him later, Is not this Elisha which washed the hands of Elijah? Now, the second reason this man was filled with the Spirit of God was not that he asked proudly to be twice as good as his master, but he asked something very different. He asked in a spirit of humility. I have met people who claim to be filled with God's Spirit who are anything but humble. I don't believe anybody who has God's Spirit can have the Spirit of God in any measure without humility. And this man was definitely humble. What did he do? As a young man, he followed an older man and washed his feet and washed his hands and got his dinner ready and did the menial jobs and trailed round behind him and watched him get all the kudos and all the limelight and everything, and he behind getting none of it, and he never rebelled. Now, to my mind, that is a greater miracle than anything I can think of. Our age is full of people who are in rebellion. Our age is absolutely in rebellion. Their music is in rebellion. Their morals are in rebellion. Their whole way of thinking is in rebellion. They reject the past. They reject everything that's gone before. Now that is pride. That is pride to the full. This was the very opposite. This man knuckled down under an older man and got on with it without any pomp or fuss at all. Now that is the second way you receive the Spirit. He longed for the Spirit because he saw it in his master. He longed for the Spirit sufficiently to humble himself down to the dust in order to get that Spirit. And that is the spirit of servitude. That's the second thing that he did. Now I want to turn to how the Spirit of God was in Elisha's life. We've seen why he sought it, but how? Well, I've spoken to you about the gifts of the Spirit. But you know, Paul never lists all the gifts of the Spirit. And for that reason, I believe that many people are seeking too much grovelingly. Paul said he spoke in tongues more than they all. Paul said that he could do things they couldn't, from handkerchiefs taken from him, could heal the sick. He could do wonderful things. And there's something much more to the Spirit than just seeking those gifts. There are people who are, I remember talking to a senior leader in the movement who said to me that the Holy Spirit is a key which unlocks 9 drawers. Poor man. Poor man. What a poor idea of the Spirit of God. This young man, Elisha, had a much higher view of the Spirit of God. He wanted something far more than that. What? Well, first of all, because he wanted it, he was tested. There came a day when the Spirit of God would take his master from his head by a whirlwind. And you look at it in verse 1 of this chapter, chapter 2 of 2 Kings. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now what did Elisha do? He tried to put the young man off. He didn't encourage him. He didn't have some meeting where he laid hands on him and said, receive the Spirit. He didn't have anything like that. He tried to push him away and put him down and get rid of him. He said, and this is what he said in verse 2, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. That's the first test. He put him off. Now, I don't believe that anybody who's called by God to the ministry and to be filled with the Spirit and to be of use to their age can be put off. My wife and I were missionaries, and we both know very well what battles we had to get there, and how much cold water was poured on it, and how much difficulty there was to get to a Muslim land. And when we got there, there was only difficulty faced us. And for years, I was one of 12 young men who arrived in Morocco, and at the end of 2 years, I was one of 2 young men who were left. That's what it is. Tarry ye here, I pray thee. Just stay here. Don't move. Now, if you can stay in your job and God has called you no further, stay. If God has called you as a greengrocer, be a happy greengrocer. Because I assure you that you'll do a lot of damage in the church of God unless God has called you. And the way you know he's called you is when the obstacles come. Now that's the first obstacle that Elisha faced. And what did Elisha answer? He said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they went down to Bethel. Now they started walking a long, long way. It was a good long way, that walk. And the sons of the prophets came and said, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace." He told them that he was quite determined to go right through it with his master, right up to death. He wasn't going to give up. He knew that he had to do it. Now, unless the Spirit of God comes upon you so you know you have to do this thing, there is no escape, you'll never rest in spirit till you've done it, then don't do it. That's what this young man did, Elisha. He followed on. Now, it's a wonderful thing that happened then. And Elijah, in verse 4, said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. He was perfectly certain that whatever happened, he was called to follow Elijah, and follow him he would till the Lord took him away. He was going to stick there. Now, my friend, that's the way to receive the Spirit of God. There's a determination about it. There's something that will not be put off. However much cold water is poured upon you, however things go against you, you will not cease. That's how it goes. Well, now they went on again. The sons of the prophets at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." He wouldn't be put off by any of them. You see, what the sons of the prophets were saying is, "Look, we've got prophet schools here. You can come and join us. You'll be an honored member. Don't go on with him because he's just about to be taken off the earth." Now, that is what influences many people today. They say, "Look, they're only older people. They're only old fogies. They'll soon be taken away. Let us break away. Let us do our own thing. Let us set up in youth. Let us go ahead as we will. And we will have nothing to do with all this out-of-date scene." Well, that's just the opposite to the way this young man received the Spirit of God. It's important to realize these things. Do you know, a friend of mine was saying recently, very recently, I only read it in something he wrote 2 days ago, that many churches in London, when approached by people from old people's homes and asked to join their services, say they have nothing for people like that. They're only geared to youth. Well, that's wrong. That's just the opposite to receiving God's Spirit. This man clung. He wouldn't turn aside to the sons of the prophets. He wouldn't turn aside even when Elijah himself said it to him. And then at verse 6, Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. That is how to receive the Spirit of God, in double measure. And it's very important indeed. Don't ever encourage a person. Pour the cold water. Show them the problems. Let the difficulties rise before them. Whoever went to war without counting whether the number of troops he had could meet the enemy. Whoever built a tower without counting the cost, said Jesus. And if he does, people will mock him when he ceases to build halfway up and said, "There's the man who began and couldn't finish." That's what we're afraid of. Many clergy today change churches about once every 5 years, and the reason they do is they've made a big mess, and they move on to the next mess, and they move on to the next mess, and each time they just leave behind a mess behind them. That is not the way that Elijah received a double portion of God's Spirit, and it's so important that we do it. Now, the next thing that is obvious in this story is it had to do with need. Every time every time God was warning him, your master will be taken away from you today. So now, I want you to think of it. Elijah was going to be taken away. What did Elisha cry? My father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He knew that that old man going left the whole country exposed to its enemies, let the priests of Baal have their way in a way they'd never had it for years, let the wicked monarchy go on as it would, let the whole thing slide and go worse. And when he saw Elijah carried up by a whirlwind in a chariot of fire into heaven, he cried out because he knew he was without. Now, do you see what's behind it? We are living in a generation where a few elderly people are carrying on what has always been with power in this land. We do not behave in these ways because we love the ways, but because we know from our own experience that the people who went before us and behaved like this had great power. Power. Actual power. I grew up under a curate of Bishop Ryle, who was a very elderly minister when I was a child. And I have been in a church where I have heard him preach and seen the young people respond, and about 12 of them, many of them to today are alive, follow the Lord Jesus. He was the speaker for the London City Mission at all their big meetings. And I have seen the power with myself. I have seen these things, that God has power. And I long to be given the power to replace these fathers in Israel who've gone, these mothers in Israel who have gone in their fiery chariots. We need that power again. Where are our Sunday schools? Where are our people? They're lost, they're on the streets, they're taking drugs. I'm watching out this door, and you can see them from the doorway taking drugs and selling them in this street. It's nothing difficult to see. The generation is lost, the land is lost, the morals are lost, everything is lost. Christ has gone. Oh, we need a double portion of God's Spirit if we are to succeed. And I mean succeed in two ways, to follow on and to be successful. That is what is needed greatly today as we face Jezebel and all her Lord. Well, now, what did Elijah reply? Because this is the key to it all. He said, if thou see. What he said is, if you see my chariot of fire going up, if you see me taken up into heaven, then God is able to give you a double portion of his Spirit. My friend, you will never get a double portion of God's Spirit unless you're spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be earthly minded is death. You need a spiritual mind if you are to receive spiritual treasures. Now, this young man, Elisha, was told, if you see my chariot, if you see the spirit world, if you see God at work in me, then you may have the same spirit. And unless you have eyes to see the working of God by the Spirit, you cannot receive the Spirit in any measure. The Bible is quite plain here. If you want a double portion of God's Spirit, then it is absolutely necessary that you have your eyes open. Did he receive it? Well, do you remember Elisha had a young servant, and they were asleep at night, and he woke in the morning, and the servant came running in, and he said, my master, the whole mountain round us is filled with chariots. The king of another country has sent to take you and to finish you. And Elisha prayed, and he said, Lord, open the young man's eyes. And the mountain round about Elisha, you can see it in chapter 6, was filled with chariots and horsemen of fire. Yeah, he knew the fire. He genuinely received it. It's no use pretending these things. Unless you've got spiritual sight, you cannot have this. Oh, for sight. Oh, for the Spirit of God to fall on people and bring them again to see the spirit world and to forget their petty woes and troubles and fussings and plottings and all the rest of it. Let them open their eyes and see there is a God in heaven who answers prayer. The very God who sent down the fire surrounded him with chariots. And if thou see is the most important words that you can have. Well now, Peter, you remember, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 13 to 16 is very plain. He said he was about to put off this earthly tabernacle. You read it if you can find it. It's right near the end of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. I think it's right. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, you see, he calls it a tabernacle, not a dwelling, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We tell you things we have seen. We tell you things we have known. We have brought them from generations. We have followed on. And here it is. If thou see, it's so important to see. Now I want you to look third at something we've looked at slightly. Humility. Because that's the third great key to the Spirit. First of all, he followed his master. And next of all, he refused to return. And then not only were his eyes opened, but his eyes were opened humbly. You see, when you look at the question, it sounds like great pride. If I'm given twice as much of your spirit, then I'll be twice as good as you, twice as famous, and get on twice as well. I'll be a much more of a prophet than you are. But in fact, he's not asking that. Do you know what he's asking? The law laid down that the eldest son received a double portion. And he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want the eldest son's right in this matter. I followed you as a son. I've looked after you like a son looks after his father. I left Shaphat, my father, and I came after you. And I call you now my father. And I want now from you the right of a firstborn. Now he had good sense in saying that. That's the way to argue with God. Do you ever argue with God? I often do. I ask God, you look at the prayers in the Bible. Did Moses argue with God? He most certainly did. He took God and reasoned with him. You must. It's no use saying, Lord, bless them all. Lord, bless this, bless that. Lord, give me this or that. Argue, reason. Why should God give it to you? Well, tell him why. You've got to think, and you've got to think according to the Bible. Now, this is very, very plain. Now, I want you to take another little look at this. Why did he want a double portion? Do you remember the cloak was thrown over him when he was following the oxen? And he followed Elijah, even though Elijah never said a word. Well now, God caused it that the cloak fell from Elijah as he was taken up into heaven. And Elisha picked it up. Now what was the last thing that Elijah had done with that cloak? He had come to the Jordan and folding the cloak together had smitten the waters and they parted. And those two went through on dry land. And now he was gone. He came back and he stood by Jordan and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he took the cloak and wound it together and smote the waters, and they parted. He didn't go searching a ford. He didn't go some long distance or try to swim. He walked through on dry land, and the sons of the prophets watching afar knew, on this man rests power. The power of the cloak, the power of his master. Now, false prophets, says the Bible, wear hairy cloaks to deceive. And if you haven't the power of Elijah, if you haven't the power that's inhabited this land in the last hundreds of years, if you've lost that power, you're much better to say so. You're much better to be plain about the subject and to get on from there. Because people will say, here he comes, all in the cloak of his master. Where is the power? Where is the power he has? And they'll laugh. They'll say he has none. He's nothing but a sort of plaster prophet. He's no one. What you need, when it says in the Bible, covet earnestly the best gifts, it says that covet to prophesy, covet to preach, covet to be able to expound the word of the Lord and to speak to the hearts of men and women. That is what you're to covet and to seek most earnestly. And that is what does more good, four words in a known tongue, than 10,000 in an unknown. Words that can speak to the hearts of men and uncover their thoughts and show them that God is in the midst of you indeed, and they will fall down and worship him. Spurgeon said that he'd raised many and many a Lazarus from his grave, and it was because he'd raised them that men took him to be a prophet. When they buried Huntingdon, that poor coal heaver who was so greatly used, they wrote on his grave, "O London, you have not known that a prophet stood among you, and a great prophet." And I have read the tombstones of some of the great preachers in London. The man who changed Portman Square and filled it with people in the 19th century. They said of him that he preached the gospel and thousands were converted under his ministry. That we're in the train of great men who've done great things, and we stick to it that we don't wear their cloak in vain, but we can part Jordan with it. Now, I've tried to show you a little of how this went, but you see what lay behind that: a conscious inability. I was talking to you about humility, and I've arrived back at it by a long route, but consciously, this young man was humble. He knew he hadn't power in himself. You see, many young men come and say, well, they've done nothing. I've had young men say this to me, I'll do it in a week. I'll do what they felt in a fortnight in 2 or 3 weeks. If God can use me, I'm very well able to do this. Be a little careful. That's something quite different. It's humility. And he saw it then. Now, I want to go on from there. What happened? Well, God had tested him. God had brought him through. God had shown him the things of the Spirit, and God had made him hungry for them, and God had proved to him that they were all his. Now, what should he do? Well, what he did was this, and it's very important. He didn't imitate Elijah. You'll never find he wore a hairy shirt. You'll never find he wore a leather girdle. You'll never find he lived in the desert and ate locusts and honey like John. You'll find Elisha was a quiet man. He lived in a house, and when great men came to him, he sent out his servant to meet them. And when he spoke to people, he spoke quietly. Elisha was a very quiet man. He was his own man. Be your own man. That's how to be filled with the Spirit. Don't be a copy. You know, John Chrysostom was the greatest preacher probably the Christian church has ever known. And do you know what ruined the Eastern church? Copying John Chrysostom. And I think too many people copy today. They copy each other, they copy sermons, they copy all the time. We don't have to, by all means, get the meat out of these things, but don't copy. Be your own man. That is how Elisha was filled with God's Spirit and went ahead from there. God help every one of us. Amen.